Hi, I'm Vari and welcome to the podcast. I've never had a simple answer to the question, so what do you do? The truth is, I do a lot of things. I'm a writer, a designer, an illustrator, a podcaster, and a coach. The thread that weaves all of these parts of me together is my intention to create connection. Connection to more joy, more peace, and more freedom. Join me as we dive into conversations about intentional living, nurturing creativity, building meaningful connections with our friends and our families, and infusing the work we do with purpose and heart. Let's dive in. Hey guys, it's Vari here. Welcome to this week's podcast. I hope you are well. I want, first of all, to start off this episode by saying a heartfelt and very big thank you to everyone who has bought my book, who has messaged me and emailed me to say how helpful it has been. It really was the intention that I had when I wrote the book and put it out there in the world. So to know that it is being of value to people just makes my heart sing. And that was one of the things I wanted to make sure that the tips and the advice and the tools and the practices within the book were really, really practical. I think so often in this space of personal development, personal growth, business, entrepreneurship, so many of the tools, especially the ones that lean more to the mindset side of things and the spirituality side of things, can often come in a very esoteric, intangible kind of way. And it can be really hard to know how we anchor those ideas and concepts into our day-to-day life. I know this has been so true for me. I'll read something or listen to something and I immediately want to know how to apply that to my day-to-day. And this was something I really wanted to use the book for, both for me selfishly as a reference point when I feel that I'm getting a little stuck in my head and I need to move the energy in my body and have physical, tangible practices that I can put into place. And it sounds like this is how the book has been received. So thank you to everyone who has bought the book and who's reached out to let me know that they're finding it really useful. If you haven't bought the book, you can get it anywhere books are sold. It's called Seeds of Courage. You can get it on Booktopia and Amazon. You can ask your local bookseller to order it in for you. So yeah, thank you to everyone who has reached out and said how much they're enjoying the book. As you will know, the book is about courage, and courage over the last few years has become this kind of cornerstone for me in my own life and also with the clients that I work with. I found that everything seemed to come back to this core of courage. But over the last few months, I have started to kind of reframe the role that courage plays in my life, because I think quite often we think that we need to live in the space of courage. We need to constantly and consistently be taking those steps towards courage and stay in that space. And I know for me that that was definitely a framework that I had, and a belief that I had was, I want to live in the space of courage. But I've come to change my perspective on that. And that's what I want to use this episode to kind of dive into in a little bit more depth. So the way that I look at courage now is that courage is the gateway to everything you want. So I'm not sure if you're familiar with the work of Dr. David Hawkins. He was a spiritual teacher, a psychologist, and he was the person who came up with this scale of consciousness. So I'll share a graphic of this over on my Instagram, because I know that this can be quite a hard kind of visual to wrap your head around here just on the audio of the podcast. But essentially, this scale goes from 0 to 1,000. And at the bottom end of the scale, we have those heavier emotions. So we start off with emotions like shame and guilt and apathy and grief and fear. And we start to move up the scale. And at the top end of the scale, we have emotions like love and joy and peace and ultimately enlightenment at the top there, which, you know, we're all essentially aiming for, right? What's been fascinating for me to discover, and I've known this scale and this piece of work for many years now, but what I've just recently realized is that right in the middle of that scale is courage. Courage sits right in the middle. So courage is that threshold from the lower end of the scales, from those more contracted, heavier emotional states, to those higher states that are more expanded. Courage is that gateway from the lower end to the higher end. And so many of the graphics that you'll find online, if you just Google scale of consciousness, they actually highlight out courage as being that middle one. So it's been really fascinating for me to see that this has been part of my own uncovering and understanding, but to see that there is actually research and science that kind of backs it up, to show that courage plays such an important part in how we move through the world. So if we want to move from those lower states, we have to move through the threshold of courage to get to those higher states of being, right? And the way that I kind of like to visualize it, rather than it being this upward spiral where we kind of start, you know, on the bottom rung of the ladder at shame and guilt and grief, and we want to get to that top rung of the ladder, which is love and peace and enlightenment. What is really helpful for me, and I know this has been true in going through this process with my private clients, is I like to tip that scale on its side. So if you imagine that spiral from shame at the bottom to enlightenment at the top, and courage is in that middle space, that middle rung of the ladder, if we're looking at it in that way, if we turn it on its side and lie it down flat, I like to imagine it as a path. So I've spoken on the podcast before about this idea of, you know, building a business, of climbing higher, of moving up in our career. You know, all of these words and phrases that we have, it feels like this climbing. It feels like a lot of effort. It feels like we need to move up. And with that upward motion can often come this precariousness. It feels like that idea of the higher we climb, the further we fall, right? So rather than it being this upward momentum and this upward climbing, I like to imagine it on its side. And there's so much more ease and less resistance in that, right? So if we lay that scale on its side, courage then becomes essentially this metaphorical doorway that we simply have to walk through to get to the emotions on the other side. And this really helps me to visualize it in that way of taking that act of courage and stepping through that door and meeting the life that I want to live, the people that I want to be with, the work that I want to do, the house I want to live in, all of those tangible and intangible things I want to create in my life are simply through that doorway of courage. I love how much lighter and less resistant this idea is, rather than this upward struggle, this upward climb, that seems to come with a whole lot of consequence attached to it. When it comes to those acts of courage, it doesn't always have to be something that feels really heavy. And this is a really important point that I just want to highlight here. oftentimes when we think about taking that courageous step, it's often related to, you know, having the hard conversations. It's about setting boundaries with people. It's perhaps leaving a job or moving in a different direction with their business or ending a significant relationship. These are all really typical examples of where we know we need to walk through that door of courage to get to the other side of it. But oftentimes, courage can simply be following what feels most exciting to you. Now, the reason that this requires courage to follow our excitement is that often the thing that's exciting us doesn't feel directly related to what we should be caring about. Right. So, for example, if we wake up in the morning and the thing that's exciting us the most is to go for a walk on the beach as opposed to checking our emails straight away, or it's to call a friend as opposed to, getting straight to work first thing in the morning. It's those things that excite us and that we feel inspired to, but they often feel very unrelated from what our logical mind is telling us is quote unquote important to do, right? So it takes a lot of courage often to follow our excitement, which seems quite paradoxical, but when we think about it in a typical application of our day to day, so often we think we have to get through the checklist of all the things we have to do, all the work we have to do, the commitments, the obligations, all those checklists of things we need to do before we can get to the thing that feels exciting to us. So it requires us to have that courage to prioritize excitement. And I mentioned this on my Instagram and I got some really great comments back and people really resonated with this idea of it's not always about choosing the path of least resistance. It's about choosing the path of most excitement. And those things can be, you know, two sides to the same coin. But one comes with a pushing against of trying to avoid the resistance. But by calling it the path of least resistance, we're still focusing on that very thing, the resistance, right? Whereas when we frame it as the path of most excitement, there is more of a magnetic energy towards that. So it's like the difference between motivation and inspiration. And motivation is when we're pushing ourselves, and inspiration is when we're being drawn to something. So it can be quite a subtle difference, but I think energetically it makes a massive difference. So when we can really start to cultivate that courage to follow what feels most exciting to us on a day-to-day basis, that's when all of those little synchronicities pop, right? So I want you to think about courage as being something that feels inspired, that feels exciting, that feels life-giving and joyful and feels full of vitality. And within that, there's inherently going to be an element of uncertainty, an element that's unknown to you. But when we can follow that path of most excitement and continue to do that, when we look back retrospectively, we can join all of these dots to see what a magical path we were taken on. Following our excitement actually requires us to slow down and tune into what our intuition is nudging us towards. And again, it takes courage to slow down. We live in a world that is fast-paced. It's about hacking our time. It's about maximizing and optimizing every single minute and every single second of our days. So it is an act of radical courage to slow down, to really ask yourself, what feels most exciting for me to move towards today? Now, I'm not suggesting that we completely abandon all responsibilities we have in our life, but there are so many things that we consider to be non-negotiable, that we consider to be immovable, that aren't actually as necessary as our brains would like us to believe that they are. So this can be a gradual process of starting to pick little moments of inspiration and excitement to move towards within the structure of your day already. So we don't have to burn our entire life to the ground and start again. We can simply create some spaciousness to invite that excitement in and then cultivate that courage to actually act on that thing that's exciting us. It might just be taking 10 minutes out to go for a dip in the ocean at lunchtime. It might be to, you know, ask that person on a date. It might be to make that offer to a client. There's so many different ways that excitement can manifest in your life. But when we make it a priority to cultivate the courage towards excitement, that's when our life starts to take on this texture and depth and have a momentum to it that doesn't feel like we are the sole activator of that momentum and of that energy. We start to be drawn in different directions. We start to be attracted to different people, to different experiences, to different opportunities. And those things are attracted to us as well. So it's much more of a reciprocal exchange rather than us being so stuck in our head thinking that we have to be the doer of all the things. We have to climb that metaphorical ladder to get to that life that we most want to live. I know for me in my life, over this last probably 6 to 12 months, I've started to orient towards some of those things that in the past I've considered to be a little frivolous, a little light, not necessarily having so much depth and solidness to them. But those are... many of those things are the things that have been exciting me. And so I think if we can allow ourselves to be inspired, to do things that feel joyful, things that bring us alive, things that we get obsessed about, things we want to just talk to everyone we meet about. This might be, to do with your own personal, you know, identity. It might be with hair and makeup or clothes. It might be in things that you're learning. It might be with work that you are doing. It might be a new hobby that you've picked up or a previous hobby or sport that you used to do. I know this has been true for me going back to play volleyball 12 months ago. So I played volleyball when I was younger back in Scotland. I played for Scotland under 21s and went off to New York and played there for a while. So volleyball was a big part of my life in those kind of late teen, early 20 years. And then when I moved to Australia, I had my kids. I was a mum of young kids. I was building a business at the time. Life got quote unquote busy, which is a word that I try not to use as much as possible these days. And it kind of took a bit of a back seat. Not even a back seat. It just wasn't part of my life at all. And then just over 12 months ago, I was Googling around and found that there was actually a local team where I live just outside of Melbourne. And so I went along and started training with them. And we have just wrapped up our season for this past year. And I had the most fun getting to do something that didn't feel like it had an ultimate purpose at the end of it. And I think that's why we need hobbies. We need passions. We need creative projects and different activities that we're involved in just for the joy of it. Because when we do those things, we generate so much more energy within ourselves. So it's not to say that going to play volleyball is going to lead to, you know, an opportunity within that space, but getting myself into those higher vibrational states means that there will be other opportunities pop in other areas of my life. So it's not so linear in the way that if we follow this one thing for work, it will result in this thing for work. If we follow this one path in relationship, it's going to end up in this result in relationship. It can often be entirely unrelated parts of your life, but that's where there's this beautiful blending of all of these parts of ourselves. And when one area of our life starts to improve, many of the other areas in our life also start to improve as well. So we can't single them out in such a definite way. So by me going back to play and having the joy of playing, and it really did take a lot of courage. You know, I just turned 40 this past year, and my teammates, when you exclude me, within my team, the age range goes from 17 to 24, and then there's me at 40. And so it really did take a lot of courage for me to go back, albeit it's a sport that I had played at a fairly, you know, high level in the past. It had been 15 years since I had played. And so to go back and play felt really vulnerable. It felt really exposing. I wondered if I remembered the rules. I remember playing in a tournament and I'd only been back at training probably for 3 or 4 weeks. And the team were playing in a tournament out of the regular season, and they had invited me along to play. And I remember the night before Googling the rules and the different formations, watching YouTube videos at 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm terrified that I was going to mess up and I was going to forget how to play. Needless to say, I remembered most of it. But what I remember more than anything was how it activated this whole other energy within me. It took me out of my head and into my body and let me be so much more present and intuitive. And that's the beautiful thing, especially with team sports, is that we become this kind of one organism when we are doing it well, that works together. And there's not a whole lot of thinking in it. It's more of an energetic connection. So for me, you know, being able to get back into that space, it really fired up this whole other part of me. And then I started to feel so much more inspired about work. It was probably 2 months after that that I reached out to a publisher to publish my book, which I then got that book deal and went down that road. And I really do attribute those opportunities, from getting my book published to other work opportunities. I really attribute that to going back to play volleyball and to really igniting some of that vitality and that enthusiasm and that playfulness. I cannot stress how important that element of playfulness is. When we can bring that into our lives, all of those areas of our life pop. And I think playfulness is an expression of excitement. And so when we move through that doorway of courage into those spaces of feeling inspired, feeling excited, feeling that sense of playfulness and joyfulness, that's when so many areas of our life start to come together. So I really encourage you to have a look at your life. Where are the things that you're feeling excited about? And excited can also feel really nervous. You know, I'm not quite sure who said it, but there's that idea of, you know, fear and excitement are the same thing, but excitement is just fear, but with breathing, you know. Or I think it's often said the other way around, that fear is just excitement without the breath. That's probably a little clearer. And so when we can step towards that and recognize it, not necessarily as fear, but as excitement, you know, as something that we feel curious about, we feel childlike about, we have that sense of wonder and awe, and there is that kind of nervousness, but it's not telling us to stop, it's not telling us to pull back, it's actually encouraging us to move forward. So have a look in your life. Where are those opportunities that you can step through that doorway, that threshold of courage, and into that space of excitement? Oftentimes we can think that if we do that, then our whole world is going to fall apart. So rather than seeing it as, you know, this kind of all or nothing decision that you're going to make, I encourage you to bring it down and do it at a kind of experimental level. So for me, often with my clients, I get them to do a bit of a test and say, hey, for the next 30 days, I'm going to follow this excitement. And if in 30 days time, I look at my life as a whole and it's given me a net negative result across my life as a whole, then I will reassess and I'll make a different decision. But if I feel like it's given me a positive effect across my life as a whole, then I can then have that evidence to prove that following my excitement equals more of the life that I want to live, right? And 30 days is that kind of nice container that we can dive all in without fear of there being these huge irreversible consequences to it. So have a look at your life. Where can you step through the threshold of courage towards excitement for 30 days? If you want some help to cultivate the courage to follow your path of most excitement, then I recommend that you grab a copy of my book. As I said, you can get it anywhere where books are sold. It's called Seeds of Courage. Or if you want some more in-depth help and you want to work with me one-on-one, then I do have a few spots available over the coming months to work with clients on a one-on-one capacity. So if you want more details on what that might look like for you, head on over to my website. It's VadiMcKechnie.com/coaching, and you can get some of the information there. With my coaching, I don't treat it as a one-size-fits-all kind of cookie-cutter approach. And what I like to do is have a chat with potential clients beforehand, find out where they're at in their life and their work, and what are the changes that they're looking to make, or what are the things that are holding them back. And then we develop a framework together that's going to be of most service. So if that sounds like something you are interested in, if you go over to my website to that coaching page, you can book in to have a free chat with me. This is a really casual kind of first date type of chat, but without the awkwardness, as I like to say, where I can just find out a little bit more about you, what's going on in your life, and we can see if there's a connection there for us to move forward to work together. So I know for so many people that have these initial consultation chats with me, whether they go on to work with me or not, they get a lot of clarity out of that, and they kind of know at the end of that first free session what's the thing that they need to do. So these calls are completely obligation free. It's my way of being able to be of service and give an element of contribution to my work. So if you are interested in that, I would love to chat. That's all for this week, guys. If you have enjoyed the episode, I would super appreciate you sharing it with anyone else that you think might find this useful. And if you don't already, come over and say hi on Instagram. I'm at VadiMcKechnie. Thanks as always for listening. Do the small things, and I'll speak to you soon.